Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
It's episode 53 of the Answer of the Week, to be precise, where we routinely forget to celebrate landmark episodes, like episode 52, for example.
That's right. We should have rebooted when we had the chance.
Each week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the THN web forums under a little subforum with that exact name. You can't friggin' miss it. And then you guys can go to the forums, answer there, or you can call us 402-819-4894. That's a Ziggurat direct line. And you can hit us up on Skype at Two-Headed Nerd. And you leave your answers and we play them on this damn show. But before we get to any of that, let me introduce my man, Joe Patrick. He's going to tell you what we asked the listeners this week.
This week's question was, what did you think of X-Men Days of Future Past, the film, the movie?
The film, the movie. Sadly, I don't think the X-Men movie is doing very well in the theaters because only four people saw it and called us. It's too bad.
Yeah, weird. Right? I mean, you'd almost think that you were all off fighting some sort of Twitter battle against a supervillain or something.
I know, right? Well, let's get right to it. Harvey Locust was the first dude to hit us.
Hold up. We should say that as with all of our movie discussions on the Answer of the Week,
this is true.
This is full on spoiler territory.
That's right.
I want to know exactly what you liked and exactly what you didn't. This is not a podcast for babies that have not seen the movie yet.
That's right. And if you haven't seen it, you're probably not a real nerd anyway. I mean, come on.
Obviously, you are some sort of subpar.
Give me a break. Or maybe you have a real life. Either way.
Maybe you were like celebrating with family and friends on Memorial Day.
Either way, we don't care. You know who does? Harvey Locust. Let's see what he had to say.
Hey, nerds. Harvey Locust here. And I have a raging X-Men boner, like, all the time. So it was there was going to be no question that I was going to love this movie regardless. And I could sit here and go into, a ramble about all the continuity errors that it had, and all the movies in general had altogether, or amongst them, as you'd say. But I'll leave that to other nerds out there. You guys can handle that. What I want to say about what I really loved about this movie was, A, it was in 1973. I was born in 1973, so that, held a warm spot in my heart right there. And the music, it didn't have a ton of music, but what music it did have was awesome. And that time in a bottle scene, I think, was probably, at least right after one viewing, it's my favorite scene. They could have used a lot more Quicksilver in this. That being said, though, I threw together a little playlist of little YouTube playlist of the songs that they used in the movie, and I'm gonna go ahead and slap that up on the forums somewhere, probably in the question of the week section.
Perfect place.
And I'll share that with you guys, and you can go check out that groovy music, man. Later.
Harvey Locust dug the hell out of it. I was also born in the 70s. Admittedly, I'm a little younger than Harv, I guess.
Huh? He's old.
I thought I was the oldest dude in the whole world. It's crazy.
You are not the oldest dude in the whole world.
I agree that Quicksilver scene was just amazing.
Yeah, we're going to save that, though.
Totally cool.
Save that talk.
We'll get to it, and we'll talk about it. My only problem with it was the fact that he was wearing a Walkman.
You know what? I don't give two shits about that, like, and I'm going to talk about that.
Not quite until the 80s.
We're going to talk about that, and so...
Yeah, we'll get there.
Put that in your pocket.
I do think it's not a fair criticism to point out at this point in the X-Men franchise to point out, like, well, wait a minute, that X-Man wasn't there doing that. I mean, like, this is a totally separate universe. Shut up. These are the movies.
Yeah.
They're doing it differently. Shut up.
It's not I have a fair had criticism. That argument many times since First Class came out, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Harvey, thanks for calling in. You don't call near enough, buddy.
You don't. We always nice to hear from you.
We miss you.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling with my answer to the question of the week, which this week is about X-Men. So it's like the fourth time I've talked about it on a podcast. You can check out me and Jason talking about it on the Major Spoilers Summer Review cast.
Shameless plug.
But I thought X-Men Days of Future Past was awesome. My biggest gripe with it is the fact that there's so much mystique in it because Jennifer Lawrence is famous. So I decided to stick her in and make a bunch of plot holes. Wolverine was the Wolverine-iest he's ever been. Blink was way cooler than she had any right to be. So was Quicksilver. It was amazing. I want to see it like 9 more times. And yeah, if you haven't seen it, you're an idiot. Get on that. I love you guys. Bye.
Now, I kind of agree that there was too much Mystique, but Mystique is a heavy part of the original Days of Future Past.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't have a problem with it.
I do understand the criticism. Like, I think she's good as Mystique.
Oh, she's fantastic.
But I do agree. I do understand the criticism that it was just a little too much. Like, the entire future rests on whether or not Mystique decides to be a good person.
Nah.
But I gave into it. It's a movie. Whatever.
Fair enough.
Ashley, we love you too.
Hey, guys. Two-headed nerd mouthpiece. Ryan here, calling in on X-Men Days of Future Past. So Matt and I went and saw it with our significant others. It was a totally great movie. We absolutely loved it. I can't really think of any part that was slow, any part that I didn't like. I was into it from start to finish. I didn't really get where Kitty Pryde got her ability to send people back through time because she can phase. But I don't really care either. I just didn't need to have that part of the story told to me. Quicksilver. Hey, there's a character that nobody wanted to see on screen. And Bryan Singer just threw the first haymaker at everyone. I loved what he did with that character. That whole scene was really well done, really well choreographed. Special effects were awesome. I was actually hoping he would return later in the movie and kind of disappointed he didn't. I think Josh Whedon
totally agree.
Better have an ace up his sleeve for whatever the character is going to do in Avengers 2. That post-credits scene I thought was a gigantically ballsy move. I think Apocalypse is a really difficult character to portray in the comics, let alone get away with on the big screen. But I give kudos to Fox and Sony for realizing what works and copying Marvel Studios on these post-credits screens with just a hint of what's to come. And the fact that they threw in the Four Horsemen in the background, that's a big, big story that they're going to be telling, it looks like. Lastly, how about a big congratulations to Jennifer Lawrence in blue body paint? It certainly takes a genetically gifted person to pull that combination off. And I'll hand it to her. Love her. Love those scenes. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I did go see this with Ryan. We took Casey and Ryan's wife, Christy, with us. And spoiler alert, we all liked it.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
so there's my review. I liked it. I agree. I had a little trouble with the Shadow Cat thing, too. I was like, what's she doing?
Yeah.
I got over it, you know, but it's like... You had Bishop there, a guy who has time traveled in the comics before. I mean, they could have worked something with that. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he doesn't have time travel powers.
Though. No, but I mean, like, they neither does Kitty, but that didn't stop him from going, sure, she does sure. now. Right. But I didn't hate it. You know, they had to get the story done somehow. Fine. Whatever.
No one is saying that it does not have some plot holes.
Right. And like we said, they made a bunch of other changes to the timeline, to the continuity. Maybe they just changed Kitty's powers a little bit. I don't know. It didn't bother me that much.
I mean, I agree that it's a big enough thing. Like, Kitty Pryde is a known quantity in the films at this point.
Yeah.
And it is a big enough change in her character that it's like, maybe they probably should have thrown in something.
Yeah, thank God we've got the whatever machine.
Right. You know? It's like, oh man, what a stroke of luck that my secondary mutation allows me to send people's consciousnesses back in time.
Yeah, totally.
You know, something. Thanks for calling in, Ryan.
Yeah. Always good to hear from you, buddy. You know who I guarantee had a problem with them messing around with Kitty Pryde? Shonix. Listen to this.
I'm curious to see what he thought.
Hello, Two-Headed Nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week.
From the parking lot of the movie theater, it sounds like.
Movie that just dropped last weekend. My thoughts. Did I like it? Did I hate it? To start it off, I'm a longtime X-Men fan. As of lately, not so much, because Cyclops is right, and that whole universe is all wackadoo right now, but it'll come back later.
Oh, settle
but
down.
Anyway, me and Superfro, Jeremy, thanks for the plug. Signed in podcast plugs on the show. I really appreciate it.
Shameless plug.
But after the show, me and Jeremy went and checked it out. We usually go to see these X-movies, Wolverine movies, just to, I don't know, see what they're going to do or see what they do next. But This one, I really liked what Singer was trying to do by connecting the two franchise the two franchises, and I'm going to call them franchises because, you know, they really didn't tie together that well if you really looked at them as a whole from, you know, if you step back. So you had Emma older, you had Havoc older, you had a young Cyclops in the Wolverine movie, but it seems like all that stuff's going to get swept under the door, and it looks like Singer made a very good, smart choice by doing what he did. But it took to the end of the movie for me to actually enjoy this movie, I guess, as much as I could. It was just there. It was just meant to me. It just a lot of the dialogue was flat. A lot of the acting was flat. The only ones that really stuck out to me were Charles and Eric, and they were the only good things, in my opinion, in First Class. So that was par for the course. I thought they did a fantastic job. Some of the plot choices that they made were really weird, and it's not story-wise connecting it with Days of Future Past. It's more or less the stuff that they did with Peter Maximoff, making that character a slapsticky comedian-type character instead of the brooding, I-hate-my-life type character I was looking forward to. He looked good, but other than that, that was it. I didn't like his design, but I liked the way they showed him using his powers, and the Wanda thing was kind of last minute, maybe. I don't know. Then there was the Jennifer Lawrence and posing as Stryker thing at the very end, which I thought just was, they didn't even have to do that. It was just kind of overkill. But, you know, it was towards the end of the movie, I was really like, wow, that's cool. We kind of reset everything. X3 is no more. Jean's back. Scott's back. Everybody's back. And it's only kind of brought new life into me going, maybe the next X-Men movie won't be too bad. But then you get the Easter egg of Apocalypse, and he's kind of actually a jobber in the Marvel Universe because he never gets to recuperate long enough, so he gets beat up really quick. So who knows what will happen this time around. I need Angel with metal wings, but that's not going to happen. But it's good to have the answer of the week back, the question of the week back. It's good that you guys are still talking with us, and we'll talk at you next week. Thanks, guys. Peace.
It's a complicated review by Shonix.
Yeah, and I disagree with almost every word he said.
I disagree with him as well. Now, I will say, like, we both had problems with the way Quicksilver looked when we first saw him. But then
when they showed his design in print,
it
like,
looked silly.
Yeah, we're like, well, that is not Quicksilver.
But then you met the character and you went, oh, he's a lunatic.
Okay, so.
And it just made sense.
I have, not to say that it still doesn't like rise up in the back of my mind sometimes, but I have kind of resigned myself to the fact that the characters that I know from comics will not appear in the same way on screen. And
well, especially
I had to embrace that idea or else it was going to drive me crazy.
Well, yeah, and you can tell the studio basically said, look, First Class was a success. It got really good reviews. It made money. We're going in this direction.
Right.
Come along for the ride or don't. I'm along for the ride.
And I liked X-Men First Class as a movie, though in the back of my mind, I'm screaming at the fact that the Bug Angel is one of the first X-Men.
Right.
And that Azazel is there. And, right. But it's a fun movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, you can't disagree with the fact that it was fun.
And yes, it's different. Yes, the movies are different. The movies will always be different.
Yeah.
Even the most faithful comic book adaptation film will be different than the source material.
Yeah, that's just how it is now.
Because they get kind of close, but it will never be slavishly, you know, word for word reproducing. Right. And so I gave myself over to it. And the Jennifer Lawrence thing at the end as Stryker, I thought was thrilling because...
Yeah, I thought it was kick-ass.
The idea that we are now going into a new world of X-Men films where nothing we know happened before. Yes, they showed James Marsden as Cyclops and Famke Janssen, but did X-Men 1 still happen the way we remember? Did X-Men 2 still happen the way we remember? I don't think so.
Well, let's get into that.
Because Mystique decided to be a good person.
Right.
And so where is she in X-Men 1 when they kidnap Senator Kelly and turn him into a jellyfish?
Let's get into that.
But real quick, the thing at the end where she is Stryker fishing him out of the bay. At first I thought, oh man, poor Wolverine. No matter what happens, he still has to suffer.
Right.
And then they showed that it was Mystique. And I was like, holy shit, what if Wolverine doesn't have adamantium ever again?
Oh, man, that didn't even cross my mind.
What if Wolverine as a character is like way different and happier and better?
Whoa.
Because he's not this tortured soul. What if he just gets to be a hero?
I didn't even think about that. Well, we don't know yet. But what if?
Well, yeah, right? But that's what excited me, was coming out of this movie going, holy crap, I have no idea what they're going to do next.
And that's the thing that I enjoyed most about this film and walked out screaming. It was so well written. They embraced everything that we hated about the other crappy Wolverine movies and X-Men movies and went, yeah, we did that. Don't worry. It's gone.
You're right.
Like, they wiped the slate clean and they can go anywhere they want from here. And in doing so, I think not only does it make for an exciting X-Men franchise future, which I am completely reinvigorated for now, but it also should silence these critics that are saying, well, the X-Men never did that. This is a totally different X-Men story. There's no question now. They're not trying to ape the comics. The characters are going to be the characters, of course, but we don't know. There's no rules. There are no rules, and that is so much fun.
Right.
Because we don't know what's coming.
Because this next film, the Apocalypse film that's coming out, it's not going to be set in that fluffy, happy future.
No.
It's going to be in the 80s where it's, you know, the X-Men are still relatively young.
Right.
Wolverine, who knows if he'll even be there at this point. Hugh Jackman is seriously considering... I mean, the guy's old.
Yeah.
He's considering just saying, look, Wolverine's over.
Yeah.
And so who knows if he's even going to be around in this movie. They may have already announced it. I don't know. But
there's also new... If it takes place in the 80s, there's no reason why you don't recast a younger guy.
I think Wolverine, there's already talks about, like, they're casting, like, a young Cyclops.
And, yeah.
This is what I kind of thought about the trajectory of the X-Men. X-Men First Class as a movie, a really, like... tore huge holes in the actual comic history of how the X-Men were
formed. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But I embraced it as a good movie and I still had fun with it. In this movie, they reveal that lasted less than a year before Xavier gave up,
right,
shut everything down.
That's a bad idea.
And became a drug addict for a decade.
Right.
So what if now in this new timeline, they're saying, well, he formed a team in the past, and it had these characters, Banshee, Havoc, Darwin, Angel.
Who they also revealed all got killed.
Except for Havoc for 5 minutes, no one from X-Men First Class.
Yeah, they did not make it.
None of the quote-unquote students are in it.
Right.
But if they're saying that, like, the first class, quote-unquote, was an experiment, and now that he's been reinvigorated and the future's wide open, he starts the school proper.
Right.
And then we get the real traditional...
Storm.
First class
Cyclops,
X-Men.
Cyclops, you know, whatever.
You know, like, the comics are constantly revealing, like, well, but what you didn't know was that there was a team of people calling themselves the Avengers years before the Avengers.
Right, right. The first Avengers, X-Men First Class, where Charles Xavier murdered his students.
They just did Deadly Genesis.
Yeah, don't forget about that.
They just did a miniseries called The First X-Men by Neil Adams, where it's like, yep, Magneto and Wolverine and Xavier, they were totally running around doing stuff before the X-Men were ever a thing.
It sucked.
So this kind of stuff happens in the comics all the time.
Yeah.
And the future is wide open, and I found it very exciting.
Yeah. And just a great way to say, look, we did it wrong. We admit it. We made it a bunch of crappy X-Men flicks. We're starting over again. Bryan Singer is on board. He's doing it. He's happy to be doing it. And they've obviously given him huge control. Matthew Vaughn, who directed First Class, had a writing credit on this. So they're working very closely with that storyline as well. I loved this.
I did too.
And I'm going to say something extremely controversial. I think there's an argument to be made, and I need to see it again, but I think there's an argument to be made that this might be one of the best comic book films I have seen yet. I did not giggle and squeal as loud as I did when they revealed that everybody was like, the future has changed and everyone's back and there's Jean and there's Cyclops. I seriously, my eyes teared up.
And even this,
was like,
Anna Paquin.
This is so well written and smart. I didn't have that moment in Avengers. I walked out of Avengers going, kick ass, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a moment where I was like, holy shit, they wrote the hell out of this, you know?
You know, I can't really go with you on that journey.
I need to see it again.
I'm not going to automatically discount it, but I mean, there are comic book movies that I love so much.
Yeah.
That this is certainly one of them. It is up there.
Yeah. I mean, I need to see it again. I'm not saying absolutely, but I think there might be an argument to be made for that.
And that's fine. So let's talk specifics, though, other than just like general feelings. I thought the stuff in the future was all completely badass.
It was totally rad. My only complaint, once again, we get Colossus and we don't get to see him do shit.
He
fought a few guys, got his ass kicked, and then they tore him in half.
Right. You know? There was a really cool scene where he jumps through one of Blink's portals.
He does,
and the exit portal is like way up in the sky.
Yeah, Blink does like a fastball special with him, basically.
Yeah, and then he like achieves like terminal velocity, yeah, and then goes through another portal and then shoots out sideways.
Yeah, it was cool and, like, as hell.
Blink was amazing.
Yeah, she was totally
the way
awesome.
They illustrated her powers was phenomenal.
And I like the choice that they made. Instead of doing like the super fast cam, like what's going on, they slowed down.
Everything was crystal
they
clear.
Slowed it down crystal and so you clear. Could see like I'm opening this portal that's obviously the part of the room behind me, and then this portal that's like the ceiling or whatever, and you can see what's going on and see it coming
and
too.
Warpath's gonna jump through this one and come out of this one and follow
it
that
was
guy.
So well directed. Great fight.
Yeah. Too often filmmakers get lazy with that shaky cam quick cut thing you're talking about, where you're like, they're fighting, but you can't really tell what they're doing.
And I don't know if it's laziness. I think a lot of times they want to convey like, this is scary. This is happening fast.
Sometimes, you know? I think it's laziness.
Maybe, you know,
because they don't want to spend the budget to have fight choreography or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But this, like every single action scene, there was no mistaking anything that happened.
Yeah, Warpath was kick ass.
You got to see Iceman ice up and ride around on slides.
It didn't look dumb.
It didn't really look dumb.
It looked cool.
Yes, there is the thing about Kitty Pryde and her mysterious time powers. Whatever. Right. I don't care. I read a thing today about this huge Anna Paquin gets like really high billing in the end credits, despite only being on screen for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I read today that there was this huge subplot where Professor X and Magneto in the future go rescue Rogue from Sentinels, and then they bring her back to the base. And then when Kitty gets hurt, because Wolverine lashes out and Kitty gets hurt, Rogue absorbs her power and takes over.
Oh.
They cut the action scene, and them cutting the action scene meant that it made no sense for Rogue to be there where she wasn't before.
Oh.
And so they're like, well, very sorry.
Yeah.
So she gets to her high credit, but those like, scenes.
Oh, did we delete it?
Yeah.
We deleted it.
Those scenes I'm sure will be on the Blu-ray.
I didn't have the time capsule turned on either.
I loved, again, Michael Fassbender's Magneto.
Oh, yeah.
Is just great.
Perfect.
He's really great.
Perfect. He looks great in the suit. When he put the helmet on, he looked kick-ass. He didn't look stupid, which it very easily could have, you know?
Right.
He just looked great, and I love that they've been setting this in the 70s, and so you get these, like, groovy, sexy, you know, swinging
like
Magneto.
When Wolverine wakes up in the 70s, and the first thing you see is a lava lamp, and the first thing you hear is a funk song.
Yeah, yeah. And he's wearing, like, you know, like low waist jeans and like
spread collar shirt.
And he just looks sexy, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's very cool aesthetically.
Yeah. And ballsy, a really ballsy choice to make it a period piece, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Really ballsy. Now, I would argue that doing little things like taking me out of the period by showing me some, like the Sentinel technology was a little ridiculous.
Oh, you see, and I don't agree. Like, I thought that compared to the future scary ones.
Right.
That these looked like those were digital and these were very analog.
I'll give you that, but they looked like 1989, maybe 1990s analog. I would have rather.
I'm saying military grade technology.
I would have much rather they were the big, clunky, purple Sentinels. Had you showed me that was Sentinel Mark I in the 60s, that makes sense. It's a big robot that stomps around and looks for mutants, you know, and like has jet boosters that make it fly or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but like, these flew with like turbines and stuff. That I mean, they were. I thought that they were.
It was still.
Yeah, they were all like sleek and plasticky. Yeah. But I thought that they were relatively low tech. They had machine guns.
They looked like they were designed by Apple 5 years ago. You know, like that was my only problem. You know, I would have liked to have seen.
It didn't bother me.
The big original stupid looking Sentinel. I think it would have worked.
But those
fine.
Are essentially Iron Man robots with repulsor rays.
I think they would have looked fine though, you know, and like little things like the Walkman and stuff. Like, come on.
Okay, so you know, we need to talk about this Quicksilver thing. We were outraged when they showed Quicksilver. When they showed Quicksilver's design,
right?
He appeared on that magazine cover, whatever. He looked like a Andy Warhol going to Studio 54.
Right.
It's like, no, this is not Quicksilver. And I will grant you, I will grant Sean's point that this is not Quicksilver. They don't ever call him Quicksilver either.
No.
He's just he's a super speed kid. He's based on Quicksilver.
He's Peter Maximoff.
He's Peter Maximoff. I don't think that was necessarily supposed to be Wanda.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
I mean, he's got a little sister, but they never say anything about it.
I didn't pick up on that. And I will also
say, they make one wink, wink, nudge, nudge reference to his parentage.
That was a little clumsy.
Oh, I thought that was fun.
Hey, my mom dated a dude that could do that. Okay.
I thought that was the perfect way to say, hey, look, we know that you're going to see another character just like this next year.
Right.
Wink, wink. We get it.
Or are they telling us that he's Magneto's son?
Well, of course they were trying to tell us that, I think, in a self-aware kind of way.
I just thought it was a little clunky.
Yeah, no, I loved it.
Okay.
And I was not expecting anything good from this Quicksilver character.
No.
But he was, without a doubt, my favorite in that movie.
Yeah, and I agree with Ryan.
My favorite scene in the movie.
Not bringing him back.
I was mad when they sent him away.
That's a complaint from me. I wanted more of him. He was kick ass.
Just the way they did his powers, it was funny.
Yeah.
And again, acknowledging that Quicksilver in comics is not funny.
No, he's a dick.
This is a different character.
Right. And Quicksilver in the comics, in my opinion, has been mishandled for a long enough time that not even necessarily mishandled, but his character, the way he's been presented, I just barely care about him anymore because he's just always an asshole. Constantly.
Sure.
And it's hard for me to get invested in that.
Well,
character.
Regardless, I mean, this is a character based loosely on Quicksilver, but is actually bears little resemblance.
He's young ADD Quicksilver is what he is.
The way they illustrated his powers was amazing.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I loved that he was a kleptomaniac and that his little basement was full of like stolen TVs and boxes of Twinkies.
Yeah.
And a Pong machine that should not have been working as fast as it was.
No.
Yes, he put on headphones. No one's calling it. They didn't say Walkman. I don't even think they showed you the device.
But they were even the kind that hook around your ears that my wife wears to the gym that were just invented like 30 years ago.
If you are thinking way too hard about it, then it's weird.
Right.
So he slips on those headphones and then Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce starts to play.
Yeah.
And if you're the sort of person that thinks, wait a minute, if he's moving that fast, how come he can actually hear that music?
Right.
Then you're going to have a problem with it. But me, I did not just automatically think that he was literally listening to that music.
Well, and it's easy to write around. He's really smart. He tinkers with stuff. He made it play faster, you know, or whatever.
I'm just saying,
I don't know.
Like,
again, thank God we've got the whatever machine.
Right. Just let it. You got to let it go. I thought it was funny and really well illustrated. And they absolutely answered all my criticisms about what I thought I was going to get.
I totally agree. It was completely self-aware. They knew what they were doing. They knew the problems with the other movies. They looked at the criticism from fanboy dorks like Joe and I, and they listened and they gave us an intensely fun film to watch. A very well acted film, a very well scripted film, a very well cast film. I really liked everybody. There was no one in a role in this that I didn't care for. You could say Warpath was cheesy, but you know what? Warpath's a cheesy character.
I didn't think Warpath was cheesy.
I mean, he was kind of, I could see him 10 miles away.
You know? He wasn't like that.
But I didn't mind. I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever. It's Warpath, man.
Yeah, I mean,
he's an extreme dude.
He was Warpath from the comic.
He was, yeah.
He had his blades and
he was
tough as nails.
They got him, you know?
Sunspot looked cool.
Sunspot looked really
cool. I thought Bishop
was
great.
Was that Sunspot or was it supposed to be Sunfire?
Sunspot.
I would have rather that he was like the black, crackly cosmic.
Yeah,
Sunspot.
I mean, but that would have been.
And if you're
going to
do that character, call him Sunfire and make it Chiro then.
Yeah.
Because he looked more like Sunfire to me.
I mean, I just thought it was great.
But his character was not Asian, so, you know, whatever.
Are we really talking about this still?
No, I'm just saying, like, it seems like they took...
It wasn't Sunfire.
I got it. It just seems like they took the two characters and smashed them into one.
Whatever. It was awesome.
He was so cool.
I thought Bishop was great.
Bishop was rad, man. Yeah. And I've never given a crap about that character.
Halle Berry was in it, and she wasn't terrible?
Nope. They pared down her lines to, I think, maybe one.
That's fine.
And it's fine with it, because she looks great as Storm. When she opens her mouth, the problems start.
Sure.
Patrick's, you know what happens to a toad and gets struck by lightning?
She's not British.
Same thing that happens to everything else when it gets struck by lightning.
Wow, that was a great one-liner, Hallie. Thanks.
Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart were wonderful.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit misty at the thought that like this was it for them.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it too. My biggest complaints, and this was very nitpicky, was the Kitty Pryde thing. And also, Peter Dinklage didn't have enough to do.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage definitely just kind of chewed up scenery in this film. That was his job's walk around, brood a little bit, look, you know, a certain way. Like the best part of Peter Dinklage's character in this movie, or his best scene, was when Mystique was impersonating him.
Right.
And he went in and looked at the files of like the dead first class members and like started crying, you know, and like that was far and away Dinklage's best performance in the film because his character was really pretty hollow. I mean,
it's not even that he was hollow. It's just that there wasn't enough of it. Like for the level of Bolivar Trask that they gave you, they could have cast anybody.
Yeah.
But they cast Peter Dinklage, who is popular. I mean, it's a bit of stunt casting and it's going to get people's attention. And they did not. I don't think they utilized him to his full.
And they know that potential. He looks cool glaring into the camera like he did the whole time and delivering his lines. And he was fine at it. And truthfully, I just would have liked more, a little more for him.
I would have liked more for him.
You know what? Had they done something along the lines of, look, the X-Men are in the past doing this. Well, someone from the future helped Bolivar Trask with the Sentinel program as well. And that's why they look kind of futuristic. And that's why they have this technology that nobody really else has. I would have been fine with that. I was like, okay, cool. That's why the Sentinels look like that. That's why they have Harrier technology and they look like, you know, Apple IIe's or whatever.
They didn't have Harrier technology in the 70s?
I don't know off the top of my head.
See, you're really locked in on this idea that the Sentinels in the 70s were advanced, and I do not think that they were.
They looked too futuristic for the 70s for me. Everything else was very 1970s. They stuck out. Even the color scheme and stuff, you know, like
purple.
I'm saying the clear faces and stuff like that. Like it just looked too futuristic. I would have rather the first Sentinels are big clunky Sentinels.
But the fact that the past Sentinels were obviously much less advanced than the future Sentinels was all that really mattered.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying like if you set this story in 1994 to the future, then yeah, I think the Sentinels look like that. If you said you slide that bar back to 1970s to the future, I disagree. You know, like I would have rather they looked clunkier. That's all.
Nitpicking.
It is nitpicking. And I admit it's a minor nitpick. So I thought they were cool and they did the job. And when Magneto took them all over and shit, which, you know, he just kind of put some metal in them, but whatever. It was cool. You know,
they have done something with the film Magneto that I think kind of works in the sense that they never really referred to his powers as magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
It's always that Magneto controls metal.
Right.
And that makes a whole lot more sense when you consider that if he's magnetic, he shouldn't be able to affect Wolverine's metal claws because adamantium is not magnetic.
Right.
I mean, that's like handbook nerd stuff.
Sure, sure.
Come to the shop, talk to Dave DeMarco about that. The scene where he sends the eye, like splits the eye beams into, or the train tracks into little threads and then weaves them into the Sentinels somehow without really messing up those Sentinels.
Yeah.
And that also, like, yes, he's controlling their arms and legs, but weren't they like also responding to his, like their programming seemed different too, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like, he got in there.
Magneto.
No, and it, like you really want to get down to brass tacks. Why didn't he just crunch the train cars around him and knock it off the tracks and go, all right, problem solved.
Yeah. I mean, I get that the point was to
Ryan
have
Ryan pointed
Sentinels.
That out, by the way. I didn't come up with that thought. Sure. He pointed that out.
But Magneto's goal in that scene was not to destroy the Sentinels. It was to use the Sentinels to.
Yeah. He was going to take a stand and
to say, hey, look, these Sentinels went crazy and started killing, and they killed the president.
Or I'm taking over. I'm in charge now. And I'm going to use your own weapon against you regardless.
Yeah,
he was going to make a statement.
If he wanted to destroy them, he could have. And probably that would have avoided a lot of the problems the future people were facing.
Yeah, and the movie's over. <You know?
laughs> But I mean, it's just movie silliness, and I'm fine with that.
Sort yeah. of thing. I mean, was this the best film ever made? Absolutely not. It was just a fun superhero romp starring actors that looked really cool, acting like some of our favorite X-Men and bad guys. And I can't deny it was just a ton of fun. And I think right. it was really intelligently written, and I'm excited for more. That's all these movies have to do.
Right.
That's all they have to do.
It's kind of a, it does them a little bit of a disservice to say, well, it's just a fun movie and don't think about it too much, because that's not to say that it's dumb or no. that it's poorly written no. and that you should just turn your brain off. But there's a difference between a movie like this and a movie like The Dark Knight, which is making some sort of like statement right. about, you know, with the Joker and things like that.
And again,
a statement about the nature of evil or whatever.
Right. And again, if you look at the Dark Knight movies, we took Batman completely out of the Batman universe that we know and right. loosely said, I mean, nobody complained about that because they were just kick ass.
Right. But this movie just pushes all the right buttons.
Yeah.
And it does it so well that you kind of ignore the things, at least I ignored the things that maybe didn't make the most sense.
Right.
Or that I would have wished were a little different, because when it was all over, I stood up and went, man, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I just loved
and
it.
And I didn't even get as far as the movie theater bathroom before I texted Matt to tell him how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I walked out of the theater and was like, holy shit, Joe.
Yeah, right. And when a movie
it was the best.
When a movie inspires that kind of reaction in you, you know that they did something right.
Yeah.
Oh, I posted this on Facebook. I also immediately went home and reread Days of Future Past.
Oh, nice.
Because I was just like riding high.
Yeah.
And it's just a really great time.
Yeah, you know, it really
and
was.
They did a great job. Bryan Singer did a great job.
Sean X, I want you to look inside of yourself and figure out what it is that made you such an angry young man, because it was not this movie.
Look, I mean,
you're blaming the movie, Sean.
I understand. I understand really loving something and then being mad when it's misrepresented.
I get that too.
But I've gone a different way. You know, I have embraced the fact that these movies will never be the same as the comics. Let the movie stand on their own.
Well, and the movie went out of its way to tell you, we are not following any rules.
Right.
We're not doing this. They couldn't be any plainer about the fact that you don't know what's going to come next. So yeah. Screw you, nerd that's read X-Men all your life. If you love the X-Men, you should be in along for the ride. Because when the next issue of Amazing X-Men comes out, I don't know what's going to happen in it. But I like Brian Michael Bendis. I like what's going on in that book. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to like it. You got to look at these movies the same way. We don't know what's going to happen. It's a new story. I don't want to see a complete retelling of some of these stories.
It's the reason why I like The Walking Dead.
Right, where I know exactly what happens next. Oh, don't worry, he lives. Don't worry, she dies. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a different experience.
Yes.
And
also, there's nothing wrong with being upset about that, if that's the most important thing to you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, people are going to have their opinions, and that's fine. But for me, there's nothing so different about anything that this movie did or some of the other great comic book movies have done that takes me completely out of the experience. There are some comic book movies that get it so wrong.
Yeah.
That you're like, no, this is bad.
Halle Berry's Catwoman, Daredevil.
Halle Berry's Catwoman, the first Daredevil movie. Yeah. Like, these are movies that just completely missed the point.
Yeah.
This one didn't.
No.
And I am 100% excited for what's coming next.
I am too. Man, that final credit cookie with, oh my God, with Apocalypse moving like the rocks around building the pyramids. It's like,
with the four horsemen in the distance.
Oh, it was just kick ass. You know,
so they're cool. Chanting his name.
Yeah, they're like, everyone's chanting En Sabadnur. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I went from cautiously optimistic that this was probably going to be okay to being absolutely thrilled with where Bryan Singer is taking the X-Men.
Me too. Very, very, very happy with this. I really couldn't have enjoyed it more.
And I agree with Ryan. I was going to bet the farm on Joss Whedon and his version of Quicksilver.
Yeah.
But
the bar is set.
They have got
very
a lot to answer for.
The bar is set extremely high here. And
it will be a completely different character.
Right.
It will be a completely different
character. Also, I mean, we laughed about how dumb it is that there's going to be two Quicksilver. Like, this is stupid. Why are they doing this? Now that we're in the middle of it, we've seen one and we get to see the other one. There has never been a time that I can think of in movie history where you had like two of the same characters from two different directors from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
Who can do it better? Go. You
it's
know,
like if, it's like if two people were making Indiana Jones.
It's super. It's kind of exciting in a really nerdy way. You know,
even like public domain characters like.
Yeah. Like Tarzan or whatever.
If
or
someone's making a Sherlock Holmes movie, it's you're not going to see another Sherlock Holmes movie that's wildly different.
Right.
And then you're going to get to see, well, who God, whose version of Sherlock Holmes was more awesome.
Although we did get, what was
it? We did get Sherlock and Elementary.
Well, yeah, no, there's that. Yeah, we had two Truman Capote movies in 1 year, both of which were very good, I would add. You
Truman
know?
Capote is a different kind of character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I'm really excited to see how.
Yeah. I can't wait for more.
It didn't make me less excited for Joss Whedon's version of Quicksilver.
No.
I'm just excited to see the character
it made
represented
me,
in such a loving way.
It made me excited in a meta nerd kind of way.
Right,
like, oh man, we're seeing the dirty business of like two dudes going, all right, what you got? You know,
we're seeing two dudes, you know? Dirty business.
Oh, wow. You took that to a weird place. Thank you for your calls and answer, guys. Even though there's only four of you. Come on, you can do better than this. Come on, people. We kept the show the same just for you. We got a new question that's going up this Sunday. We'll be.
It'll already be up by the time they hear this.
It'll already be up by the time you hear this.
The deadline is probably tomorrow by the time you hear this.
Yeah, if you're only listening to this show. In which case, what are you doing, man? Our other show is so much better than this.
Yeah, honestly. We rambled for like 30 minutes. We ran out of callers at minute 15. We've just been for the last 25 minutes.
Thanks again, guys. And we will see you again real soon on another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.